This program was produced by and first broadcast on Community Radio Hamilton, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.communityradio.co.nz.
Hello and welcome to Community Radio Hamilton on, food for thought. You're going to be listening to 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. Or you could also be listening to the podcast via iTunes and a variety of other podcast hosts. Today I'm going to be trying to answer the question, should we own pets? Now, I think we need to make a distinction here between should we keep pets and should we own pets. As I talked about last week on the show, I'm opposed to the property status of animals, and therefore I'm against the idea of owning animals. I'm also against the idea of breeding animals to create more pets. However, in a world where millions of animals are left homeless and killed in shelters every year, I think that we have a moral obligation to look after those animals that have already been brought into existence by us. So I support adoption, but I do not support buying from a breeder or a pet shop. To start the show, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Between the Buried and Me. Right after that, I'm going to be talking about some of the theoretical problems with pet ownership. That was Enable Phobia by Between the Buried and Me. Three out of five of their band members are vegan. Now, on the show, I'm going to be talking about why I disagree with the institution of pet ownership. Ownership being the key word there. Because animals, indeed, are our property. And as I talked about on the last show, there are many practical and theoretical problems with animals being property. Pets are mass-produced just like any other commodity, and they are marketed and sold just like any other commodity. They are quite often with birds and fish. They catch them in the wild. However, with other animals, they're mass-produced in places like puppy mills, and of course, the way that they are marketed and sold is how people sell commodities. I mean, I don't think that we should be selling sentient beings. We sell objects, not individuals. Now, most people treat their pets as family members. However, according to the law, all that's doing is just giving them a higher than market value. For example, if you have a certain car and that car has a sentimental value to you, that's okay, the law will let you do that. However, it doesn't change the fundamental fact that the car is still your property. And it's the same with pets, unfortunately. The law still regards pets as property, even though most people treat them as family members. However, not everyone does treat their pets as well as you and I probably do, and I'll discuss that later. Now, in a lot of senses, their status as property and their lower moral status is clear. For example, in emergencies, people are told to just leave their pets at home and evacuate themselves, whereas imagine the outcry if people were told to just leave their children at home and save themselves. And when pets attack a human, then they can automatically be put down. However, when another human attacks a human, then they get court cases and they're taken to jail, etc. And of course, we do not sell humans. We used to in the 1800s, and unfortunately in some places of the world, there still are illegal slave trades, but generally speaking, humans are not sold. However, non-humans are. Now, I do not take this matter lightly. I personally live with several non-humans, and I recognize them as members of the moral community. In other words, I recognize them as sentient individuals who should be entitled to not be property. However, if I wanted to, I could have them all killed tomorrow. I could have them all sold tomorrow. And I think that is disgusting. I think it's disgusting that the law recognizes non-humans as no different than cars, furniture, or any other commodity that you may happen to own. And that is the primary reason why I am opposed to the institution of pet ownership. As much as I love interacting with dogs and cats, if there were just two domesticated animals left, and it was up to me whether or not we should breed them so that their babies could be sold into pet ownership, then I would choose not to breed them. Now, after the break, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the practical reasons why the institution of pet ownership is a problem. And then after that, I'm going to be talking about why adoption is a far better alternative. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of Fall Out Boy, whose drummer Andy Hurley is vegan.
As the room keeps singing, that's just the business I'm in. This
That was This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race by Fall Out Boy, and you're tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Learn more at fftradio.wordpress.com. Now I'm going to be talking about some of the practical problems with owning pets. For every animal that is brought at a breeder, another one dies in a shelter. Literally millions of animals are killed in shelters because they don't have homes. So why is it that we are breeding more animals when there are already millions who are homeless and being put down because it's a choice between that or either them being chucked on the streets? Now, animals who aren't bred are captured for the pet trade. Animals like fish and birds are most commonly captured and transported long distances in disgusting conditions where many of them often die on the journey. Some dogs are bred in places called puppy mills, where dogs are bred by the hundreds, and the, quote, spent females are killed or sold into research when they stop producing enough babies to be profitable. The conditions are crowded and dirty and just disgusting. Whilst many of us may treat our animals well, lots of people don't. Most dogs spend less than 2 years in each home before they are dumped in a shelter or sold to another family. Many animals are mutilated by tail docking or ripping out their claws so that they don't scratch the furniture. Animals that are abandoned live horrible lives on the street, where they are subject to disease, where they might starve, freeze, or be tortured by other humans. Now, like I have said before, I don't think that adopting animals is a problem, and for those reasons, I'll be covering after the break. I'm opposed to the purchasing of other sentient beings for both practical and moral reasons, and I'm opposed to the breeding of animals, but I am not opposed to providing homes for the animals that have already been brought into this world by us humans. I believe that we have a moral obligation to look after those non-humans. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of Goldfinger, whose lead vocalist and guitarist John Feldman is vegan.
Into
That was My Everything by Goldfinger, and you're tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton. Food for thought. Now I'm gonna, just before the break, I talked about some of the moral and theoretical and practical reasons that I'm opposed to pet ownership. However, now I'm gonna be talking about why I am not opposed to adopting animals from shelters. I believe that we have an obligation to look after the world, to look after the animals that we have already brought into this world. I believe that we should adopt animals and we should give them the best lives possible within this artificial, unnatural environment that we have that we have brought them into. Now, no one says it better than Gary Francione, basically the inventor of the abolitionist approach to animal rights. When he was asked if caring for animals was compatible with the abolitionist approach to animal rights, he replied, "Absolutely. The abolitionist approach is that we stop bringing domesticated non-humans into existence. But what about the ones that are here now? Given that they are here because of our own selfishness and moral blindness, don't we have an obligation to look after them?" In my view, the answer is clear. That is why I support organizations such as the Peaceful Prairie Sanctuary, groups that do TNR, that's Trap, Neuter and Return work, such as the Animal Spirit / Homeless Animal Lifeline, and No Kill Shelters. It is why we have four rescued dogs living with us. It is why we have four rescued dogs living with us, and have had up to seven at one time. These non-humans are all refugees, in a world that they do not fit into, and which they cannot, thanks to us, care for themselves. So yes, caring for individual non-humans is not only consistent with abolitionist animal rights position, it is, as far as I'm concerned, an integral part of it. And I personally couldn't agree more with Gary Francione. I do not think that we should be bringing more animals into existence, but we really do need to look after the ones that have already been brought into existence. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of the International Noise Conspiracy, whose lead vocalist, Dennis, is vegan. But right after that, I'm going to be reading out a recipe for Blue Velvet Blueberry Sorbet. We'll be right back. Up for Sale by the International Noise Conspiracy, and you're tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Now I'm going to be reading out a recipe for Blue Velvet Blueberry Sorbet, which is a great summer dessert and a non-fat ice cream. For this you will need 2 cups of frozen blueberries, 1 or 2 tablespoons of water, a tablespoon of agave nectar. You could also use a rice nectar, or maybe even maple syrup and golden syrup. 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. If your blueberries are uncooperative, you can add vanilla soy milk, 1 tablespoon at a time, for a blueberry sherbet, to add a combination of 1 tablespoon of water, 1/2 teaspoon of lemon juice, and 1 teaspoon of agave to keep it more like sorbet. All you have to do to make this is add your blueberries and the agave nectar, or rice nectar, or whatever else you're using, to the medium-sized bowl. Blend with a hand blender until creamy and smooth. You can also use a food processor if you have one. Dish out quickly before it melts. You can try strawberries or mixed berries if you like. Now, that recipe was from Animal Emancipation, which is run by Vincent. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but it's spelt G-U-I-H-A-N. You can check out his website at animalemancipation.com. And you can also check out his podcast, which is We Other Animals. Just go to weotheranimals.blogspot.com or do an iTunes search. And he also has a food blog, which is Vegan Improve, except without the E, so improv.com. Next week, I'm going to be doing a Christmas special, so make sure you tune into that. I'm going to be having some ideas for Christmas foods and presents, as well as some basic reasons why you should leave Santa soy milk instead of the traditional cow's milk, and say no to the Christmas ham and other non-vegan products on Christmas and all other days. To finish off the show, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Red Hot Chili Peppers, whose lead vocalist, Anthony, is vegan.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey yo, listen what I say, oh, I got your hey yo, now listen what I say. Come back and hey, oh, look at
less I know, the more I like to let it go. Hey, oh, whoa, whoa. Deep beneath the cover of another perfect wonder, where it's so white as snow. Privately divided by a world so undecided, and there's no.
Episodes of this Community Access Radio show, visit www.communityradio.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.